This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3284 for Thursday the 4th of March 2021. Today's show is entitled, Introduction to GDB and is part of the series, Compilers, How They Work. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 24 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, a really friendly introduction to GNU Debugger.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everybody, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, I want to talk about GDB. That is GNU Debugger. It's the application that you get sort of by default, I think, whenever you install GCC. And you probably don't know what to do with it if you're anything like me. It's there. You know it exists. You can read the man page, or the info page, which is even more extensive, but you're just not really sure what exactly you're meant to do with it. And maybe you do try it out. Maybe you're brave. You fire it up, you try a couple of things, and it just doesn't give you a whole lot of feedback. Well, heck if I know. I don't know how GDB works either, but I have been messing around with it lately, and it is kind of an interesting concept. And there's a couple of different ways to use GNU Debugger. You can look at a core dump, a crash file through GDB and learn information from it. And sometimes you can do that from GDB itself, or you can do it with a journal control or something like that with systemd. Whatever method you do, you're technically invoking GDB. So that's one method of doing it. But you can also just open up. You can use GDB as kind of a command before your command to launch a command within GDB. The catch here is, and this is something that I found out later than I would have preferred, the catch is that the executable that you are debugging must have been compiled with debugging symbols in it for you to get really the full GDB experience. So here's what we'll do as a little demo. We'll do a debug dot .cpp seems like a reasonable thing to do. So we'll just drum up a really quick and easy C++ application. So we'll do a hash include less than iostream greater than symbol, hash include less than, actually that might be all, no, let's do this. Hash include less than standard lib dot h greater than symbol. And then we're going to do using namespace standard semicolon int main parentheses parentheses curly brace, and then we'll start the random timer. It's just srand parentheses time parentheses null close parentheses semicolon, and then we'll do int let's do penguin equals rand parentheses parentheses percent we'll do I guess 8, so that'll give us an integer from 0 to 7. And then after that, we'll do a cout and just deliver ourselves a message. This is a message from your friendly coder, new line, end line, semicolon. And then we'll make another variable called int kiwi equals 3, so we're hard coding that value. And then finally, we're going to do a printf. Oh, that means we're going to need to hash include standard io.h up here at the top again. I'll dump this code into the show notes. Not that it's anything really, but maybe I won't actually, just be silly to have this online. But printf penguin is set to %s close quote comma penguin, and then printf again. Oh, better put a new line after that and a new line after this. And kiwi is set to %s backslash n close quote comma kiwi close parentheses semicolon. Okay, so now I've got a little C++ program here. So if I do a G++ debug.cpp, which is what I just called this application, debug.cpp, then it compiles as a.out. So that apparently is successful, so we're all good, right? We can ship this application because it compiled correctly and nothing's wrong. So if I do a ./a.out, we expect this to run successfully. I'll hit return. It looks good so far. It says this is a message from your friendly coder. That's a good sign. Oh, last line is segmentation fault. So I didn't get my penguin is blah, and Kiwi is blah lines at all. So something somewhere broke. We can probably assume that it broke, well, after the message that we inserted for ourselves, the message from your friendly coder message, but we're not really sure where after that it could have possibly broken down. Well, let's try running it with GDB then. So GDB a.out, or actually I'll do a./a.out. And it gives me a sort of a little message from GDB telling me some information that we don't care about so much. But it does tell me that it's reading symbols from a.out, done. And so if I start, I'll type start at the GDB. So now I'm in an interactive console with GDB. So I don't have my bash prompt, I have my GDB prompt. And if I type in the word start, then that starts the application running within this console. So first it says temporary breakpoint 1 at 0x400A44. That's some kind of memory address. I don't really understand what that is. And it says starting program is a.out. It gives me the location. And then it says temporary breakpoint 1, 0x, bunch of zeros, 400A44 in main. Parentheses, parentheses. Okay, cool. So somehow there was a breakpoint created. We're not really sure why, but the breakpoint has been created so that when it reaches the main function, it checks back in with you. So that's just an automated breakpoint that has been imposed because the main function is a pretty common function. You can insert your own breakpoints at various places, and there's also watch points and some other point. So you can kind of control the flow of information from GDB, but right now we're just taking this tour. So we've already started this application. So technically it's still running sort of in the background, or it's idling in the background. So to continue past a breakpoint, we type in the word continue, C-O-N-T-I-N-U-E. Hit return, and that's when we get this is a message from your friendly coder, so that's to be expected. And then we get program received signal SIG SEGV segmentation fault, and it gives me an address 0x00007FFFF71C0C0B in VF printf parentheses parentheses from /lib64/libc.so.6. So that's telling me, or I can surmise from that there's been a problem when either putting information into some kind of memory address space, which is all that 0x00007FFFF stuff, and it's probably related to VFprintf, or getting information out of that memory space, we're not sure. But that kind of makes some sense based on what we're seeing here, right? This is a message from your friendly coder. We know that came before the printf statements, so it makes sense that the printf statements are causing problems, because otherwise, presumably, we wouldn't have seen a message from your friendly coder at all. So I'm going to quit out of that by typing the word quit, Q-U-I-T. All of these commands, the stop, continue, quit, those are in the info page for GNU Debugger or the GNU Debugger documentation. There's a good cheat sheet out online. I'm sure there are bunches of good cheat sheets out online, but seeing just kind of all the commands and the topics laid out really helped me. So let's see, quit, got that. It tells me there's still a process running, their debugging session running. Should I kill it? Yes, it's okay to kill that. Now I'm back on my bash prompt. So I can do a G++ and then -G. Now -G compiles debug symbols into my resulting executable. And I'm going to name that resulting executable with a -O, debug test, and then space debug.cpp. And again, debug is just the name, the arbitrary name I've given this application. I could have called it anything. I could have called it simple, example, whatever, .cpp, whatever. So I'm doing G++, -G for debug, -O for output, debug test, and then debug.cpp is my input. Hit return, it works. Now I'm going to do an ls-l on a.out, and then again on debug test, and again just for fun, debug.cpp. So what we've got here is we've got the a.out application is 11,624 bytes, whereas my debug test with those debug symbols compiled in 22,952 bytes. So basically double, basically. And then debug.cpp, just as a matter of interest, is 338. So the source code, tiny, compiled thing, quite a lot bigger, compile with debug symbols, quite a lot larger. And that is why, as far as I understand, that's generally speaking why debug symbols are not something that you are likely to just inherit for free when you download an application. They're not gonna, it doesn't make sense, generally speaking, I don't think, to distribute it with the debug symbols built in. Let's see how the output, or the interaction rather, of GDB differs though. So we'll do gdb.debug test and see what happens. Well, it says that everything's good to go, I guess. Reading symbols from debug test done. So I'll click, or not click, I'll type start. And once again, we're kind of seeing expected output here. So we've got the temporary breakpoint at 0x400A48, file debug.cpp line 9, starting program debug test. So already we're seeing a little bit more information than we had before. It's telling us the file that we're working on and even the line number at which the breakpoint occurs. So if I switch over to a different terminal and open up my debug.cpp in Emacs, for instance. I'm doing an Emacs because I know that I have line numbers in that application. I can see exactly where I'm sitting right now at line 9, which is quite nice. And it tells me that line 9, it tells me that there's a temporary breakpoint 1 at the main function of my code, and that line 9 is srand time null. And if I look in my Emacs thing, here it is, line 9, srand time null. So that lines up, that correlates. Okay, well, everything's fine so far, so I'm going to do a continue. And then it tells me, this is the message from your friendly coder, and then it tells me, Penguin is set to parentheses null, close parentheses. So I got a little bit more output this time than before. Specifically, I kind of see the last thing it attempted to do, and I can tell, I can surmise from this that Penguin is set to null. Well, that should definitely not have happened, because I set Penguin to something random, and so it shouldn't be null. It should be an integer 0 through 7. So maybe something's going on with my random function. Maybe I mistyped or have missed, maybe my syntax is incorrect for the random part of this setting a variable. Possibly not, but that would be certainly one thing we could consider. And then the other thing that we could consider is the printf line, where it keeps sort of telling me that it's kind of failing. It's telling me that the printf line has some kind of error in it. So it's hard to tell from this output, for me at least, whether the error is in the initial setting of this variable or whether it's in the printf statement itself. So we can quit out of this, I guess, and go back up to my code. And I guess we could, you know, if this is debugging, right? This is how that works. So I guess we could look up the rand function somewhere and determine how rand is supposed to work. We know that, as far as I know, we're supposed to initialize a seed, and that can be done in a couple of different, or not a couple of different ways, but you can, well, I guess it could be a couple of different ways, but for srand, you know, for the rand function, you do srand and then give it some source of entropy. So it looks to me like that's correct. So it looks to me like the printf statement is the thing that's wrong. And that's kind of supported. I'm being so dismissive of that first theory because it does appear to be on the printf line that the crash occurs. The random function appears to pass muster because we get this message. This is a message from your friendly coder. So I feel like if the random function was the source of the error, then I believe we would be seeing a crash before we got to our friendly coder message. And many of you probably already know what the problem is here, but printf, if we were to kind of look into our syntax of printf, we would realize that we said Penguin is set to %s, and the %s stands for string, but our variable Penguin is set to an integer. So if we switch the %s to d, %d, and %d, for both of our printf lines, and then save that, and then go back to bash, rerun our g++-g-out debug test, debug.cpp, and now we'll do the gdb again, debug test, symbols are loaded, okay, cool, and then we'll start, and this time it says, okay, so it stops again, it says temporary breakpoint 1 at main. So we're sitting at line 9, and then we could start continue. OK, continue. And then we see that there is no crash. We get this is a message from your friendly decoder. Penguin is set to 7. Kiwi is set to 3. And then it tells me that inferior one, process 14597, exited normally. So there was no seg fault this time. And that's a very brief tour of GNU Debugger. So let's look at a couple of the other things that GNU Debugger can do. So we'll start this up again. And as you can see, or as you can hear, I'm still in GNU Debugger, and I've still got my debug test application loaded as sort of in that session. And so I can just start it again by, I don't have to leave GNU Debugger and restart GNU Debugger pointing at that application again. This is my session. So I'm still at my GNU Debugger prompt. So I start it, and it hits the temporary breakpoint at main, and I can do cool things like next. Well, the next line, it tells me, is line number 10. And so that is, of course, the penguin setting to getting set to a random number. And I guess we could watch that. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to start from the top again. It tells me, do I want to start at the beginning? Yes, I do. So I've started at the beginning. So now I'm back at line number 9. I'm going to establish a watch point. WATCH watch penguin greater than 1. So more often than not, this will trigger when penguin gets set at all. Because, I mean, it is possible that penguin hits 0. But I'm going to bet that we don't get there that often. And I'm going to watch penguin for any time it's set greater than 1. Okay, it tells me that it's created a hardware watch point for the condition of penguin being greater than 1. And then I can also, for instance, I could set a breakpoint arbitrarily myself, but I feel like we already have a breakpoint in here at the main function, so I don't know if that's really all that exciting. I guess we could, though. I could say break at line 12. It should be line 12 is when Kiwi gets started. So actually, let's break at line 11. So I'm just doing break 1-1, break 11. And now there's a breakpoint, it tells me, in the file debug.cpp, line 11. Cool. So now if I continue, two things should happen. One is that I should get an alert if penguin is greater than 1, or yeah, 1. So that should be like 2 and up. And I should get things should stop at line 12, or 11. 11, yep, 11, okay? So I'm going to type continue. And I get a couple of alerts. I get, it tells me that it's continuing, and then it's telling me that the hardware watch point for penguin greater than 1 has been sort of triggered. The old value for that watch point was false, meaning we didn't have it on record yet that penguin had been set to anything greater than 1. The new value is true, meaning the condition we were looking for has now become true. And we'll get back to that in a minute. And then the next alert that we get is that a breakpoint has been triggered, which delivers us to line 11, which is our little message from your friendly coder line. And now we're in a paused state. So this is, I mean, you can see the power here. If you've developed an application and you're just trying to figure out why do I get here, but that value keeps getting dropped? Well, maybe that value isn't being set. Maybe your syntax is wrong, or maybe the thing that you're parsing it with is doing it wrong, or whatever. But you can see the power here. If you know, for instance, the variable that you're looking for, or a condition of that variable that you need to catch, you can get that information here. And you can arbitrarily just pause whenever you want. Like if you know the line that's confusing everything is on 112, then you can pause at 113 and then investigate what happened just now. So for instance, if I want to get some information about a variable, I can get that information. So we know that penguin's greater than 1, but we don't know what it is. It hasn't told us that. So let's just do print, print space penguin. And it tells me that $2 equals 4. So there you go. Penguin is set to 4. That is greater than 1, so that makes sense. And then I could even print. Can I print Kiwi? Have we been by Kiwi yet? Let's try it. Print Kiwi. $3 is 0. Okay. Well, what if we went to next? That's 12, the 12th line, int Kiwi, and then up, print Kiwi again. No, it's still set to 0. Well, what if we go to the next line? Okay, well, now we're on 14, because 13 was a blank line. We're at the print F line. Now let's try printing Kiwi. Ah, there we go. $5 equals 3. So now we know that Kiwi has been set as well. So we got penguin, we got Kiwi, and we've got the rest of the application, really. And we could just say continue at this point, I think. And sure enough, we get penguin is set to 4, QE is set to 3, so we got confirmation, I think, on both values that we got from our print statement. So they've been retained correctly. Now it's also telling me that the watch point has been deleted because the program has left the block in which its expression is valid, meaning there's a certain scope to these things and that scope has expired, or we are now out of scope because everything's been resolved. Everything, the program has exited. The return zero has happened. So I think from this, you can kind of, I mean, there's obviously a bunch of stuff that I'm not talking about here. I guess I could talk a little bit more real quick about some things. Okay, so we're going to start back from the beginning. Yes, we are. And then we're going to do another break. We're going to do break at, what was it, line 12 or something? No, 11 is what it was. So we're going to break at 11 and we're going to say continue arbitrarily or freely continue because we know that we're going to stop at 11. And here we are at 11. So now if I print penguin again, I get a 2. But the cool thing about this is that you can get the value of penguin in a couple of different by a couple of different means. So for instance, and this is the one, I mean, I could do, for instance, print / u penguin, and that gives me, oh no, it doesn't. I typed that in wrong. Forward slash u, and that gives me the value of penguin as an unsigned decimal. So that's pretty much what I would have expected. Now I could do / o penguin, and that gives me 02. So that's the octal version of that variable, or not version, but the data of that variable in octal. We could also do / f, which will give me the value of that variable as a floating point. And I think the really neat one is / a, which gives me the address space of that variable, 0x2. So now I'm going to do a break at, I think it was 14, and continue. So we get our Kiwi value loaded. And then I'm going to do print / a of Kiwi, and I get the address space of Kiwi. So that's some interesting and possibly useful stuff. I don't know. It kind of depends on what you're looking for, I guess. But I find that pretty interesting. You can also show the type of a variable. So for instance, what is Kiwi? Type is int. Perfect. Well, that's useful to know. Maybe that would have helped us determine the problem with our printf value when we were trying to printf strings instead of digits, for instance. There's a heck of a lot more you can do, and this is really just kind of my initial exploration of GNU Debugger in a way that, I don't know, hopefully, because this is kind of on the level that I can use it right now. This is really fancy to me. So hopefully something basic, if you're at the point of not really knowing what to do with GDB, maybe this has helped you get maybe interested in dipping your toes into it. Because yeah, there's I'm sure a lot more information I could be gleaning from GNU Debugger, but in terms of where I'm at with programming and certainly debugging programs, this is already really, really useful. So if you think it sounds useful for you, by all means, try it out. And if you think that I'm using this only a shred of its potential, then by all means, record an episode about what you do with GDB, and that way other people can learn. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.